Hello, welcome to Hot Shots, the podcast about women learning to play football when you're no spring chicken. I'm Adele and our team is Hot Women FC, also known as the Hotties. And in case you didn't know, our team name is a reference to the hot flushes associated with our time of life, rather than we think we're all supermodels. And this is the menopause episode.
I'm Kate, and this week we're getting all hormonal, discussing the symptoms of the perimenopause and the menopause, and asking what treatments or lifestyle changes we can undertake to alleviate symptoms. We also found out how football can help women through the change.
And we've also got the menopausal fixture of the season, as we finally got to play HRT United. But first, Kate, what's happening?
Well, what's happening is we're recording this on the eve of the next lockdown.
Lockdown two.
So what that means for everyone who's involved in grassroots football is that football stops.
Yep.
But I can still go to college and stand in front of a bunch of strangers in a closed room and teach.
Doesn't make any sense, does it?
No, not any bit of sense.
And we can still have the builders traipsing through the house.
There you go.
Yeah, I can't have my mum and dad come round for a cup of tea.
No.
Anyway, politics aside, football.
Yeah, I shouldn't have probably got political, should I? We're trying.
We've never even had to talk about politics.
No, anyway. But yeah, that is what is going to happen. And actually, I would like to point out that in the media, there's a lot of talk about why should grassroots football be stopped, because it's going to be really detrimental to children. There's been no mention of what it's going to do to adults.
Yeah.
And all the women like us.
Yeah, absolutely. And yet the elite game carries on.
Yeah.
I'm going to very much miss our Tuesday nights at the Manor.
It's a shame you didn't make it to the last session last night because it was gutted. A great session. I think because everyone was just so up for it and making the most of while we could play. But then at least we have got professional football to watch.
Yeah, still. Exactly.
Because without that, be just zero football in all of our lives.
And that would not be okay, would it?
Not okay.
I was gutted I couldn't come yesterday. When we played HRT, someone accidentally stood on the top of my foot with their studs. And
ouch.
Yeah, so I can't really put my trainers on. Otherwise, I would have been there with gusto. But well, let's hope that it's only for 4 weeks and then we can get back
crossed
at it. So in the meantime, during those 4 weeks, we've got to keep ourselves fit.
Yeah.
So what's the plan?
You know, some of the old themes are coming out. I've been talking about getting back into running and, you know, I did my couch to 5K and, you know, I did all my kilometres in May, but somehow I can't get back into the flow of it. So maybe that's something to spend my month doing.
It's just not really the weather for it, is it? It's like,
cold.
Let's go for a run when it's pouring with rain.
Yeah.
You know, the wind is coming at you at sideways glance. Look, I have to admit, I've started the couch to 5K.
When did you
three
start
that? Times. And I still haven't finished it. So I'm on week, what am I on? Week eight? 28, is that the one? 28 minutes I'm up to.
Okay.
So what I'm going to have to do, and I am going to start it and I am going to finish it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go back maybe a couple, with like something I can achieve, maybe the 20 minute run.
Yeah.
Because that 28 just is a bit much now that I haven't been
doing
it.
It is, but once you master that 28, then the rest of it just flows.
But the problem is, I go around and I don't know how the maths works because I'm definitely not doing 5K in my 28 minutes because I'm just not running that far because I'm so slow.
But I think you just forget about that bit and focus on the bit where it's doing 30 minutes of running or 28 minutes of running. And then you'll just, if you can then build that in, then you'll be able to get a bit quicker and then you will be able to do a 5K in half an hour. I believe in you. Come on, you can do this.
Well,
you got this.
I am going to start again. Well, not from the beginning, because that would be ridiculous, but I am going to start from the 20-minute mark.
Okay, good. Okay, so that's tentatively running for both of us. Any other goals?
Well, we've just bought a exercise bike.
Brilliant.
It will probably end up as a clothes horse, like everything else.
An expensive one.
But, you know, it is something that if it is raining, cold and wet and windy, I can at least give that half an hour.
Brilliant.
Well, it's got to be worth a try, isn't it?
Have you got it out of the box yet?
No, it hasn't arrived yet.
Oh, okay.
It should be arriving tomorrow.
Calm down.
Go out steady, Eddie. It was just something that we kind of thought, oh, we'll get that this time. And then at least it's there, isn't it? Because the gyms are shut again and I had started going to the gym again.
Mm.
And I'm just like, oh, so at least I can do that.
Yeah.
What about you?
Just the trying to get running back into my life. And I thought I might try out some online yoga or cardio or some kind of online routine.
Oh yeah, good idea.
And then maybe it will become a routine because I need that.
What about sea swimming?
What about it?
I don't fancy that.
No.
Ah, thanks. I don't know. I think I might give it a go.
Really?
Yeah. Got a wetsuit.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm very surprised. I didn't think that would be your sort of thing.
Well, there's this little place I've been wanting to try down by Shoreham. It's like a little cove and lots of people go swim in there. And I thought that looks kind of like I could cope with that.
That sounds intriguing.
I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, do keep me posted. I look forward to hearing all about it in the next podcast.
Be like you're running, never take off.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. So as we mentioned before, this is the menopause episode. And so we've invited back an old familiar voice. Less of the old, right?
Well, I don't mind. Welcome. I embrace it.
It's good to have you back on the pod.
Yes, I managed to get out my bath chair with my flowery slippers.
We did nearly have you wrapped up in a blanket a moment ago, didn't we?
You
just got you
did.
Work.
I was cold though.
Yeah.
And my arthritic fingers had seized up on the wheel.
Anyway.
Yeah, well, I'm waiting for my next hot flush and then we'll be fine.
Yeah, there you go. So there must be some benefit. So on that note, we thought we'd talk to you because you are in the throes of the menopause, aren't you?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Because the throes of the menopause, I think, is the perimenopause, isn't it? So that's the run-up to menopause, which is when you stop having periods.
So you think the perimenopause...
Peri is when all you get, when you get all... Like all the mad symptoms.
When you go mental like me.
Yes.
And me.
Yes. When you get all that mentalness, sort of everything changes and then once your periods stop, then you do get the hot flushes and stuff, but everything's a bit more easy.
And that's the menopause.
Yeah, the menopause is when it stops.
And you haven't had a period for a certain amount
of time. It's supposed to be a year.
Yeah.
What's happening for you now then?
I feel like... everything's a lot more balanced and easy to deal with, which in the run-up to it, a lot of the time everything felt a lot out of control and you didn't really know where it was coming from, stuff like that. So I found out that was in the lead-up to it. But then once you have your menopause and, you know, you get hot flushes, which is really uncomfortable. But, I mean, every woman's situation is different or experience is different.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it's a bit of an excuse for eating more biscuits because you're supposed to put more weight on around the middle so I can have a few more biscuits.
And you've got a good excuse for
that. But it's just menopause. Yeah, you can't help it.
Absolutely.
Chocolate digestive, please. Generally, it's hot flesh, so I might be working away on my computer. And you know when you've got your laptop on your knee and then you can feel it getting slightly warm on your thighs. And you know, it's just warm in, you're sort of sitting in the living room and it's, oh yes, it's just warm. And then all of a sudden the warm in your thighs rushes up your body like it's massive heat and just, I'm in my hoodie and suddenly it's just really, really hot and my belt's too tight and I'm sitting here, I've got to finish what I'm tippy-tapping, but I'm sweating up to my hair follicles and I have to pull off my sweatshirt and I don't finish what I'm doing and so I have to watch the telly and have a drink. That's about it, really.
So you just get that little bit of warning where your legs start to get warm.
Yeah, and you don't know when it's going to come. Sometimes it's quite useful at the workshop because it's quite cold. There's no heating in there. And suddenly a like rush of heat and it's, oh, that's better.
So a functional hot flush
can be sometimes, but they're worse when you're feeling anxious and one comes along because it just increases the anxiety.
So have you found that your anxiety has increased?
No, my anxiety has decreased.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. I do have periods of anxiety, but I think in the run-up to, in maybe a couple, 2 to 4 years, I had much more anxiety and much more trouble dealing with my head, whereas now I just don't have a memory and I can't think of words.
So brain fog is real.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, well, you have regular conversations with me, Adele, and I just see you like, spit it out, CJ, spit it out.
That's quite good to play a little game. Like, guess what CJ's going to say?
Yeah, will she be able to finish a sentence? But I mean, what about you guys?
So you're coming from an experience, your own personal experience of someone who is 51. I'm 48.
But actually, you've gone down a very similar route, because I took tranexamic acid for years because I was anemic, because suddenly my periods got so heavy. And my doctor said, you know, it's probably perimenopausal symptoms. So I had to take this tranexamic acid, which reduces bleeding to stop being anemic. And that's something that you do now, isn't it, as well? Because your periods changed.
Yeah, well, my periods have always been quite heavy, but then they did start to get a lot heavier probably maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And so because you'd had such a great response.
Such a great experience.
Great experience with tranexamic acid. Yeah. I thought, I'm going to ask for that.
Yeah.
And the doctor did talk through other options, but that's absolutely worked for me. But aside from that, I think the perimenopause has really hit me quite hard in terms of mental health, to be honest. And I felt really up and down. I felt really out of control with some of my emotions. Some days where I don't know how to kind of keep myself sane, to be honest. And that, I'm sure that's the perimenopause. How about you, Adele?
So I'm coming up to 45, very nearly. Slightly different from you, CJ, in that my anxiety's gone through the roof. Night sweats are an absolute, I wake up absolutely saturated.
But you're still having periods.
Well, that's interesting that you get that before the menopause, you get that as part of peri. I never got that as part of peri. But yeah, as I said, every woman's is different. Every woman's experience is different. Yeah.
Terrible itchy skin.
Oh my God.
I don't know what that, if that is even a thing, but
before
I go to bed, my skin is so itchy. And I have put on quite a bit of weight, but that's probably a mixture of...
Is that biscuits?
Well, probably a whole mixture of things.
I mix it. I'm claiming menopause.
And brain fog is... Yeah, definitely. So
yes,
they're my main...
brain fog.
I find myself continually walking into a room going, I can't remember what I was doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then someone asks me a question and I'm like, I know the word I'm trying to say, but it won't come out.
Yeah.
It's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's quite embarrassing, I find that. And also, because what I do, furniture making, it has its own kind of language, as you know, every profession, there we go, forgot it as well, every profession has its own language, doesn't it? And because I went into furniture making after doing lots of other different things, so I've only been doing it for 8 years, I don't have that built-in knowledge which you have with things you've known forever. So when I'm speaking to other furniture makers or suppliers and I need to use a specific industrial term or a bit of jargon, I just, you know, I'm grappling around trying to find the right word for, you know, I don't know.
I don't think that's got anything to do with how long you've been working in your profession, though, because actually, you know, I've been working in and around broadcasting, you know, TV and radio for 20 years. And so I don't know whether this is lockdown or whether this is perimenopause, but when I'm standing in front of students or if I'm training journalists, I will also forget words. And that's been this year. And it might be because lockdown has meant that I have less contact with other people.
Yeah.
Or it might be the menopause, but I am a bit like you, grappling for those words. And they're words that you know.
Yeah, because I've always thought Kate is a really good communicator, isn't she? I always find that Kate is very clear.
Not anymore.
So that's really interesting that I didn't realise that. So have either of you, you know, been to a doctor?
I haven't yet, but I am trialling a magnet, which goes in the back of the neck in an acupuncture point.
Yeah,
which apparently is going to help me with my night sweats.
Okay.
Because I don't know, because I'm
so
only...
what's the science or reasoning behind the magnet?
So I'm not entirely sure. I just think it, because
suck
it hits this this particular point. I hope not. This particular point on your, it's meant to, I guess, kind of like level
your
temperature out. Well, it can't be any worse, can it? Yeah, so I'm trying that because I just think, because I am still, you know, only coming up 45, I don't want to go onto HRT and be on it forever.
Too early.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to think of some alternatives and then...
There's a lot of stigma around HRT, isn't there?
It's been like a godsend and some people...
Yeah.
I think when it first started to be used as a treatment, I think people were a bit scared of it because it had risk factors, didn't it? Well, thanks, CJ, for coming along and sharing your experience.
It was a bit out my way. Make the effort for you guys. Yeah.
I thought that we'd better get some expert advice. So I spoke to GP Rachel McPherson to answer some of those nagging questions about the menopause. Awareness around menopause and its symptoms has risen in recent years. Is this reflected in the number of women that now come for help rather than kind of slogging on through it?
So I'm not aware of the statistics, but I am hopeful that an increased awareness does encourage women to seek help. I think it's good that several high-profile women have spoken about their menopause journey. I was quite taken by the actress Gillian Anderson. She sort of says the perimenopause and the menopause should be treated as the rites of passage that they are, if not celebrated, then at least accepted, acknowledged and honoured. I think we really need to try and normalise the menopause, be aware that it can have a huge impact on an amount of us, usually about 10 to 20% can have severe symptoms and it affects the vast majority of us. And we really need to sort of reach out to our partners, our wives, our sisters and talk about the menopause because it can have a huge impact, encourage them to go and see their GP because we can help, we do listen, hopefully, and we can signpost.
You've touched upon some of the symptoms of the menopause. What are the typical symptoms of the menopause and the perimenopause?
So the symptoms are similar at each stage. Medically, we tend to sort of broadly classify them into different categories. Firstly, what we call vasomotor, which is the sort of sweats, the burning up, the night sweats. It can often really affect your sleep when you wake up in the night several times, really cold and sweaty. The second category is urogenital. The vagina, the bladder, the pelvic area is very sensitive to estrogen and is estrogen dependent. And as we reach the menopause, we are estrogen deficient, which can lead to a very important symptom of vaginal dryness, which often can lead to problems with sexual intercourse, urine frequency and recurrent urine infections. And the other broad category is psychological. We can often feel very irritable, mood swings, anxiety, depression, a loss of libido. And one of the common reasons I see is memory loss. So it can really affect your cognitive function and insomnia, lack of sleep. So these are the predominant earlier menopause or perimenopause. But as we enter the menopause, we can get osteoporosis and cardiovascular disease and the symptoms of that, really.
So what are the different approaches to treatment that women are offered today?
So there's many different approaches. I mean, we always should start with a lifestyle. The predominant symptom that women have is the flushes, and often that can be triggered by certain foods like spicy foods, caffeine, alcohol. We should eat a really broad diet, particularly in vitamin D and calcium, because that can really help our bones. We should try and manage our weight, because we do tend to put on weight when we go through the menopause, to try and stop smoking because of the risk factor of increased cardiovascular disease. There are also herbal remedies. We also advise CBT, psychological therapies. There are many apps and Headspace or sleeping apps that can help us with our insomnia. And then the ones that we prescribe are what we call the non-hormonal drugs and the hormonal drugs. So the hormonal drugs is predominantly HRT. Then there's the non-hormonal medications that we've got, what we call the SSRIs or antidepressants. So there's quite a host of medications and complementary therapies. But it is important to say that, you know, HRT is the first line. 98% of women note an improvement in their symptoms. There are obviously risks associated with HRT, but the risks of breast cancer, which is the most common worry that women have, quite understandably, it's less than actually drinking two small glasses of wine per day. So it should be put into perspective.
Yeah, that's good to know, because I certainly have a bit of a preconception about it being a risk. So that's really good to know. Bringing this all back to football, can playing football help to ease the symptoms of the menopause?
Absolutely. There's absolutely no doubt that that would be helpful for multiple reasons. I mean, it's a weight-bearing exercise, so it would help your bones. It would help with weight management. We've mentioned that going through the menopause increases our cardiovascular risk, and regular exercise reduces our cardiovascular risk and our blood pressure. It increases endorphins, helps our mood. And I think being part of a team-like sport just gives psychological support and a open space for shared discussions. And, you know, I think that reduces isolation, anxiety, depression. And some women find exercise as effective as HRT. So I think it's really important that we, you know, have team-like sports for women of our age group. You know, I think it's hugely beneficial.
Great. And then lastly, are you going to come back and play football with us?
Oh, I will. No, I will. I will. After this podcast, I need to follow my own advice, don't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was GP Dr. Rachel McPherson.
So Rachel did come along to play with the Hotties, didn't she?
She did. She came along to one of the Hottie sessions when we were still playing indoors, probably about this time last year.
And then she probably got a bit busy.
I would imagine she's had quite a busy workload.
It was good, though, to hear, you know, because we can make our own judgments on the menopause, can't we, and say where we're at. So it's really good to hear it from a professional.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, as we mentioned earlier, we had another friendly fixture recently against HRT United. Looks like that was planned just in time. First of all, we talked to players from HRT United.
I'm Claire from New Haven Football Club, the veterans, HRT.
Who set up the club?
The team, I did.
How did that come about?
My daughter actually used to play football and she got badly injured about 8 years ago and we needed to get her back into football. Yeah. So it was kind of like encouraged her to get back into it by taking some training sessions for some mums.
Brilliant. And so who thought of the name?
We did collectively. It was a family decision.
Tell us a bit more about that.
So it was really just to get some ladies. I mean, as a football mum myself, I've stood on the sideline for years and just thought it would be a really, really good fun thing to. I'd never kicked a ball ever, ever. So we just decided to have a kick around and HRT was born.
And so you thought and by then, naming...
Yeah,
by naming
we did because it was for obviously more mature ladies. And then we kind of started off with six. We quickly went to about 15. And once it got to that level and people wanted to carry it on, because it was only going to be for about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And then we took ourselves to the local football club and just asked them if they would help us set up the vets properly. And they did. So we had full support from New Haven FC.
Brilliant. And how was it tonight for you?
I loved everyone. We actually came off the pitch and said it was the best match we'd played for a long, long time. It was even, it was lovely, good fun, good natured.
And what does football mean to you?
For me, it's been, for my mental health, it's actually been amazing without even realising that I had struggles before.
So I'm assuming just because the name, because you founded the club, I'm assuming you're either peri or menopausal.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
has definitely. It helped with those symptoms too?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. It's just an outlet. Yeah, it's physical fitness. It's everything. Absolutely everything.
And it's lots of other things, isn't it? Because it's camaraderie and,
I would never have known these ladies 18 months ago. I didn't know them. And it's just everything. I would go as far as to say that some of the ladies that play for us have probably saved a lot of their lives. I really do go as far as to say that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm. It's definitely saved me.
Well, that's amazing to hear.
Yeah. And that's actually quite emotional.
It's made me emotional, actually, hearing that. Well done, you. You should really, you know, be proud of yourself.
I'm absolutely really proud.
And
of
proud of your team, because it was a great game. And let's get the next fixture in for the next
definitely.
Menopausal match.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you. And you.
So, hi, Jane.
Hi.
You play for HRT United in goal.
Yes, I do. I love it, mainly because I'm a big chubby over 50 and I don't have to run if I play in goal. But I have no fear and I've always played in goal at hockey as well. So I'm a natural to getting the ball at me. It doesn't worry me at all.
And how did you feel in goal tonight against the Hotties?
I loved it. I loved the whole match, actually. I had great fun watching it. I was hoping the ball would never come down because I actually loved all the skill. Lots of skill out there. It was great. It was fun and exciting. I thought it was a really good, exciting game tonight. So fair dues to both teams. Shame it wasn't a draw, really.
Yeah, no. We won't talk about the penalty.
No.
So can you tell us a little bit about how you came to play football? What age did you start?
I started playing football when I was about 10 years old in the early 70s. It was very difficult. I was very lucky. I had very short hair, so I used to play with the boys' team in football and cricket and anything else. Then I sort of got older and turned to tennis. And then I sort of came back to football in my 30s and then now in my late 50s. And I absolutely adore it. It's so much fun. And fair dues to Carol Bates and the Cogs, actually. Absolutely wonderful, because I don't think any of us would be here now if it wasn't for Carol and her Cogs. Fantastic team.
Thanks for mentioning Carol. We always try to. So thanks for coming over to Brighton tonight. Are you local to New Haven?
I live in Lewes, but it's such a great vibe of this bunch of nutters. The mixture of ages, abilities and sense of humours, and I wouldn't play for anybody else.
Well, thank you so much for spending your Friday with us.
Not at all, thank you. So I'm Hayley, I'm Claire's daughter, so yeah. Together we set up HRT. She basically turned around to me and was like, how do I kick a football? And that's kind of how it started, really. So
did you play before?
I did, yeah. So I used to play for Brighton and sort of Sea Haven, New Haven sort of area, and I loved it for a long, long time. I've only recently just got back into it because of HRT.
So what's your involvement then in the team?
Not so much now. I've taken a little bit of a step back since I've gone back into 11-a-side. I've spent a year coaching them and just sort of doing little bits with them and going to festivals with them and just generally having a laugh with them, really. So,
yeah,
it's good.
What's your review of the game tonight? How do you think that went?
It was a little bit unjust, to be honest. I feel like a draw would have definitely been fair, to be honest. It was really, really well matched. It's nice to play a team that sort of is a similar of ability. It's nice to find a team that matches that.
Yeah,
quite nice.
And also probably quite evenly matched hormonally.
I think it makes a huge difference. And what I like about these guys is we have a variety of women that play for HRT, sort of younger and slightly older as well. So, but no, it's good. It's a good game. It was thrilling to watch. It was very end to end, lots of goals.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks for coming to support us all.
Thank you very much.
And it's great to have some younger supporters too.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot.
Thank you guys. Cheers.
And then we managed to catch some of the opinions and views of the Hotties.
Hi, Katie. Thanks for coming and playing tonight with the Hotties.
Pleasure.
You scored a goal as always.
Yeah, I scored today, which is nice.
Well, you do quite often score.
It was really nicely set up, wasn't it?
It was beautifully set up by the gaffer. And that's the only reason why I scored.
A CJ and Katie combo.
It was indeed, as always.
But so you normally play up front because you can put them in the back of the net. Is that your preferred position?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know, really. I like midfield. I go wherever I'm told.
So, Katie, why did you join the Hotties and what keeps you playing every week?
I joined the Hotties because of Kate and CJ, actually. And they invited me along because they knew that I played a little bit of football back in the day and I hadn't played for probably 10 years. And I have absolutely loved it. I absolutely love the group. It's hilarious. It's fun. Old Twinkle Toes is a genius.
Thanks.
Some good fashion advice going on. No, it's brilliant. It's fun. It is an hour every week where it's just a blast.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Another fun Friday night playing football.
Oh, what an absolute joy playing football on a Friday night. I don't think I could have envisaged myself saying that a few years ago.
I know.
Because, we'd normally be in a pub or at a party or, But it's absolutely wonderful, isn't it? Everyone has so much fun. What was the highlight for you, Adele?
Well, I scored a goal.
You did, didn't you?
Yes. I thought we all played really well as a team. I love that. Playing as a seven.
And it was so nice to have so much more space, wasn't it?
Yeah, really good. And I think we were really well pitched. We were very even.
Did it make you think about the good old days of this time last year when we were getting hammered 11-0?
Oh my gosh, I did think of that actually. They seem so long ago, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
But it was really good fun. HRT United were a good laugh. And it was a good match. Well played. I feel like I have to mention the penalty though.
Okay.
Well, the ref, I mean, considering she is one of our friendly fire. So someone kicked the ball towards the goal, hit poor Yoli on the arm as she turned around, ball to arm, nothing she could have done, and she gave a penalty.
We were robbed.
Robbed. Honestly, daylight robbery it was. Well, kind of dusk or whatever it was. It should have been 3-3. So that's what I'm going to take from it. And joking aside, actually, Joe did do a great job refereeing, apart from that one terrible incident.
Yeah, apart from that, we'll let her off and we'll, we'll say thanks for coming along and reffing.
But just don't come again, thanks. That's all for this edition of Hot Shots. I'm Adele and thanks for listening. And if you like what you hear, then let us know. We're on Twitter at HotShotsKick. And you could also show some love by giving us a rating on your favourite podcast platform.
I'm Kate, and due to the latest lockdown, it may be a few weeks before you hear from us again. But we will be back. See you next time. And remember, you're never too hot to be a hot shot.